The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my... Hey, I wanted the Bengals, but it was a Super Bowl anyway. Wasn't that Sopranos commercial cool? Co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you tonight?
There was a Sopranos commercial?
There was a Sopranos commercial, yes.
I must have missed it.
All right, so untap, upkeep, and draw. I forgot one small thing tonight, so, you know.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Chair stream.
I went to the good store. So, yeah, and there you go. Store. You're getting pixelated again because we're not streaming from Riverside. Yeah. We might just go back to Zoom. All right. And you are quiet. I'm hearing you be very quiet. I'm going to up you just a little bit.
Yeah, my gain's where it's been.
Okay. No problem. Just, you know, speak into the microphone.
I haven't touched nothing about nothing.
But before, you know what, and we started, before we begin, you know, we like to remind you that this episode, and every episode, of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys, with their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone. Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. They have locations in both Catskill, New York, and on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York. Kerwin's is the best place to go in gaming. They have a great website. Go to kgsonline.com. And don't forget, you get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. We also want to take a second to recognize our rare level patrons, Spencer, Chiba Tank, Nurse Gamer VJ, Bell, Levi, George, David, Brian, and Apollo. We also want to shout out our Mythic Rare patron, Jonathan, as well as our four producers who we could not do this without, Jamie, Carrot, John, and Jake. Jake's also the co-host, don't forget, of our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, which we'll talk about in a minute. Listen, the patrons help out in a billion ways. We say it every week. We love the chance that we get to have to play with them. I forgot to post in the patron channel today. Who won last week? Oh, we have a wide open.
It's a brand wide open field this time. I'm looking
That's
forward
right.
to it.
Ooh, subscribe with Prime, but did you hear a blink blink?
I did not hear the subscribe, but thank you to the subscriber.
I didn't either. Thank you, Muertes. There we go. I just did it. All right, so good. At least if I can see it, I can make it happen. So
Yeah. Do the thing.
Thank you very much, Muertes. These people help out in so many ways. One thing all patrons get, like we said, is Commander Craft, which is on Wednesday. Listen, if you want to find out more, go to patreon.com/planestalkers. We also want to remind you that Commander Craft is our Wednesday show where we play listeners like you using web cameras in a four-person commander. Holy cow! Now, you know, he's also subscribed. So, again, Muertes favor. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
That's huge. Listen, we Commander Craft is our fun show. This week it's wide open. Patrons have first dibs until tomorrow morning. So if you want to play with us, Paper Commander using Spell Table, feel free to just go right on over to our Patreon there. Otherwise, hop in our Discord, and tomorrow I'll throw out an invite to everybody. We usually try to get three players. We try to get two for game one and then one to swap in for game two if we can get to it. So, love to have you guys play. All you need is a webcam and a commander deck and, you know, technical know-how, like, you know, and to be able to set it up above your table. Justin. And, you know. Justin.
Not going to name any names, Justin.
Justin, right.
Just in case you weren't sure who we were talking about.
Yes, just in case. Yes. Oh, I like that. So, and we also want to remind you, we are proud to be the flagship podcast for the Planestalkers Network of Podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is launched. They're on Anchor at anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel. You can download them on almost all podcatchers out there. They are a great, great show. If you haven't listened to them, they have an incredibly diverse realm. They pretty much spend a lot of time in more internal formats. They keep getting guests and stuff. It's a really great show. Hit them up on our Discord, guys. That's where they hang out. They have a Discord channel all their own. And like we said, anchor.fm/cantripcartel. Finally, we want to remind you that we are a part of the Geek to Geek Media Network. This is a network of geeky podcasts and other content dedicated to promoting positivity and inclusion, as well as just showcasing some really great stuff about gaming. They have a ton of great content over there, podcasts, you know, Twitch streams, all sorts of stuff, articles, which I have to write another one. It's been a while. So just go on over there, geek2geekmedia.com. That's geek2geekmedia.com. Don't go geek the number two, because I guess that's some sort of dating site. But we're still in Untap, and Papa Will went to the beer store with his $75 worth of Christmas gift cards. So Command Z is back, baby. Nice little triple IPA. We're going to go right off the rails tonight.
And, you can't really go off the rails if you're never on the rails. Just saying, you know?
Absolutely. Well, if I can't open this, I'll have to go to one of my other ones. So,
that's what screwdrivers are for.
Yes, exactly. So, well, I don't have any vodka. But Aramis, sir, how the hell are you?
I'm doing good. It was a good weekend.
Oh, that's good.
You know, obviously, Sunday was devoted to the Super Bowl. Because, you know, it's an old tradition. You know, I grew up in Western New York, so obviously we had a lot of Buffalo Bills Super Bowls when I was a kid. But my mom would make chili every year, and we just sort of dedicate ourselves to watching the game and picking a team and just rooting for that team for the day. So we made chili. We watched the Super Bowl. We were all cheering for the Bengals, and we were all disappointed that it turned into ref ball at the end.
Well, they kind of stayed out of the way of the whole game, though,
I mean, the Bengals got away with one at the beginning of the game. They got away with a big one. And I think if that had been called, I think it would have been clearly Rams winning the game anyway.
Right.
But there were a couple of ticky-tack calls kind of at the end that were sort of like, I don't know if you really need to call that, but all right. The Bengals had a chance. It was a good game. And I wish they had won. I think, you know, both teams really, they kind of did deserve it. But, you know, the Bengals had been, what, 34 years since they'd even last been there, so.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You know, it was definitely interesting. I watched a little bit of it. I wasn't as invested this year. I mean, don't get me wrong. I had a monstrously busy weekend. Like, as many of you know, I don't know that I even announced it on here yet. I left my job. My job that I've had for a year, I've made a move, and I start my new gig tomorrow. But I left that gig last Tuesday. So I had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and today off, which we used to kind of be we needed a few things. First of all, as many of you know, my Chrysler 300's been dying, so we had to get a car. So I now have a 2018 Dodge Journey. So I'm very happy about that. It's like getting my wings back. And then this gig, they're like, you're going to have to use your own cell phone. So, hi, iPhone 13 Pro. Freaking amazing. But I bought that using the signing bonus. And, you know, we just kind of, you know, we did that. We did a lot of running around trying to get this thing done. So by Sunday, I got to admit, I was just kind of like, I need to chill. And then Wendy is actually starting her stream. So Wendy wants to start streaming because I think I've talked to you about her and RuneScape before, right?
You've mentioned RuneScape once or twice.
Yeah, as a joke and picking on things. But Jamie came. Like, so I streamed with her on Sunday to launch her stream, you know, kind of, you know, give her some props and some views and stuff, hoping some of our people would cross over. And they did. Jamie, our producer, actually came to the server I was on because I was like, okay, we talked about it, and I'm like, I guess I'll learn to play this game. I guess I can hop in this and play with you for a while. So I hopped in, and I'm starting out, and I'm really bad. I'm horrible at this game. I was killed by a cow. So yeah, exactly. But Jamie showed up. He threw me a bunch of stuff. And, you know, we had some eyes. And then the part of why we're making this change, oh, see? Grib, all right. Yeah, we got to use this. Grim is following us. Thank you very much for the follow, sir. Part of why I've moved us to Streamlabs is, like, I have this mini feed here where I can see what's happening on Twitch so I can, like, set up alerts.
There you go.
But we got raided So apparently RuneScape is very popular. Like, I've been picking on it a lot. Apparently it's popular because, I mean, what? We've been doing this now for 4 years, and we've been on Twitch almost that whole time. And, like, all of a sudden, I'm streaming RuneScape, and we got raided, and people were... I was like, okay, okay. I guess I can't be a jerk about RuneScape anymore.
You got to give it the respect it deserves.
I have to give it the respect. Well, now, though, guess what? Geek to Geek is like... I mentioned that I was doing it, and they're like, well, dude, according to SEO, that's like a really popular thing. You should write some articles. So now I got to write a damn articles about RuneScape.
Well, I mean, it's a great premise, you know, coming into RuneScape 2022 as a complete newbie. What's your experience
yes,
like?
Yes, and she plays old school, so I have to play old school RuneScape, which... And here's the thing. I like the game except for one problem. I have one problem. I don't know how familiar you are with gaming, but on a keyboard, all right, when you're gaming, you usually want to live on the WASD. Those are like how you walk and run things, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, not in that game. You have to click where you want to go using the mouse, and I'm just like, where the hell can I just want to run. Why can't I hit the I don't know how many times I hit W trying to move forward.
I've played games where it's WASD. I've played games where it's the directional keys. I've played games where it's the mouse. You know,
yeah,
I mean, like
yeah,
Star Trek Online is like that sometimes.
You click where you want to go on the mouse, and she's right. She's like, you're gonna get used to it, and I am, and it is fun. Honestly, what's the fun part for me? It a game is a game, and I've played WoW, and I've played other MMOs. I'm playing with Wendy. That to me is really the most fun. Is I'm doing something with my wife that she really enjoys doing. So I couldn't say, you know, it was a good weekend. But then by Sunday night, I got to be honest, I was kind of like, ugh. So I watched a little bit of it. It was kind of on in the background, and I was kind of doing other things on the computer, and you know, it just didn't grab my attention very much. You know,
it was a good game. Halftime show was lit. I really enjoyed it.
I have problems, and this isn't a, this. I like music. I like old school rap. I like the performances that they gave. I really did, but it's hard for me because I'm a rock guy, you know. And I understand that rock is dead. I understand that rock, as far as the popular music, is gone. That rock is alive, but it's not the mainstream anymore. But you know, I'm sitting there watching that, and I was liking it, and I was in it, but I'm just like, where, you know, I look at Prince's Super Bowl thing from a few years ago, and I'm like, well, longer than a few years ago, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, Prince's, you know, and I look at that, and I like, he lit the place up. I mean, my God, he's singing Purple Rain, and it started to rain. Mm-hmm. But
that was a nice coincidence. But yeah, no, there's a lot of... A lot of folks were talking about the halftime show last night, saying it was fantastic. I mean, but you know, Prince's was better, and I think I can agree with that for the most part. But I'm not the hugest Prince fan. I like some of his songs, but I think the lineup that they brought together, I think the way that they did it,
yeah,
I think it was very well done. I mean, I try not to look at the halftime show with too much of a critical eye because.
Right.
It's either targeted at my demographic or it's not, and all I can do is say, well, I'm going to listen to the music, and did they perform well?
Right.
If they perform well, I don't care what they're playing.
Right.
So I think they performed very, very well. I mean, obviously there was some lip syncing issues, which are going to happen during the right. Super Bowl, because very rarely do people actually do it live. But the
Bruno
people that
Mars
do...
He owned it.
Yeah,
shit.
Bruno Mars did it live. I think The Weeknd last year did it live.
Yeah.
Mary J. Blige did her section live. I know that.
Oh, yeah, she did.
But... Overall, I think the halftime show this year was fantastic. I think the game was really good. Not a classic Super Bowl, like an all-time classic, but it was good.
Yeah.
It was a good competitive game, which
Brady
for me,
wasn't in it. I was okay with that.
That doesn't matter to me. But I think it was a good game. I think it was an entertaining evening with the family. And, you know, today is Valentine's Day, so if you guys have significant others out there, I hope you did your thing and got your stuff for them because... You know,
we're doing it this weekend. So
there you go.
But I mean, yeah, I thought the game was good. I thought the halftime show. Here's the thing: it was LA. Like, I like it when they do something like that. I like it when the halftime show. You know, if they're in New Jersey, get freaking Springsteen or Bon Jovi. You know, if you're in L.A., Dre and Snoop, absolutely. You know, I mean, they're a West Coast rap.
You know, my brother-in-law
and they were very L.A. focused. You know,
Steve, hope you're having a good evening, bro.
Oh, cool. Hey, Steve, welcome.
My brother-in-law.
You know, I dig it when they do that. Like, I think when Prince did it, they were in Minnesota. Like, it's like they were in the dome.
No, Prince was in that was in Miami.
Oh, okay. But even still, I like it when you find, you know, when you get somebody who's kind of like local to that scene. I think that that's just an added bonus, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, no, it was great. I think the experience overall was really, really good. I'm obviously bummed that football is done until August, since baseball doesn't seem to be starting anytime soon. So, but that's a discussion for a different podcast.
Absolutely. And, you know, so, but let's, you know, let's pivot off that. Unless you have anything else go on this week, anything cool or?
I mean, I managed to get to a pre-release.
Okay. How'd it go?
It went well. I lost towards the end, which was really disappointing, because they, because it was a single elimination tournament. So I lost, basically, it was top six, and I lost in that round. So I was like,
okay.
But Kamigawa is fun. It's fun. It's so much fun. And it was great just to be able to play Magic with other people again. You know, I haven't done that since May, the last time that, you know, things were sort of calmed down.
Well, we did in January.
Yeah, but I mean, like, an event. Like, it was the first pre-release I'd been to since Theros Beyond Death, which was the last pre-release before the pandemic. So it was nice to be able to go in, crack some packs, build a sealed deck, and play in an event like that again. So I'm hoping that the trend continues and that by New Capenna, you know, there's even less restrictions and things are closer to normal. We'll see what happens. But it was a great weekend overall. Just had some Magic, had some football, had some family, had some good food. That's all you can ask for.
That's really it. So let's go into upkeep, because we do have a show tonight. It's going to be an interesting one. I'm going to do the curse. It'll probably be a short one. We don't have a lot going on. but we're going to talk a little bit about the state of Standard tonight, you know, because Standard has had some movement. And then we're going to kind of pivot. I mean, you kind of gave us our pre-release stuff, so we'll pivot to the Wizards financial report. That came out last week. Oh, dude, you didn't put the arena.
It's in there.
I don't see it.
Oh well, it's.
Oh, there's the article. Okay, yeah. And then we're gonna pivot to the arena state of the game, and then main two will go into deck help. Somebody put a deck list inside the Discord for Modern. So this will be interesting because I mean I'm not a Modern guy, but you know, you put it in the deck list. We're gonna look at it, and then we'll finally give you guys a win a box update. So that's kind of where we're going at. So let's go into main phase.
Main phase.
So, state of Standard. It's interesting. Ores Off Control is still hanging on, according to MTG Goldfish.
Yeah.
Did it get any toys?
It got it. From what I've been hearing, I guess if they go towards the aura aspect of controlling enchantments, Light Paws, I guess, is really good for this deck. You can sort of see some of the Kamigawa cards starting to sprinkle into these lists. I'm not sure how many of them are actually going to have the Kamigawa cards
Wandering
in them yet. Wandering Emperor, yeah. Because technically, you know, the set's not really released yet. I mean, it's out in Arena, so for all intents and purposes, it's out, but the physical cards aren't out yet. And that's still, for me, that's still my personal barometer of when a set comes out to really start looking at things changing, although, I mean, Arena has really changed that landscape.
Right.
But, Ores Off Control got some toys. I think, you know, Jeskai Control got some toys. Mono White Aggro some toys. And there she is.
Hi, Pam.
Hey, babe.
There's your Valentine. Mine is sleeping. go on. Sorry. Hey, Pam shows up, interrupt.
Show stops.
Now we have a new subscriber. Grib, thank you for subscribing. Wow.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
All right, then.
I think Kamigawa is going to change some things up. I mean, you're going to see a lot of Kamigawa cards starting to crop up here probably in the next week or two. And I think that's going to be the norm. I mean, this set is definitely cranked up the power level. And we're going to see whether or not that's a bad thing when we see how everything pans out. I mean, Baseju is really, really, really good.
Did you open one?
I did not open one. I ran into a Iganjo.
Okay.
That's a decent card. Like the big appeal about those cards is that not only are they uncounterable, and you know you're pitching a land that could be easily replaced. You could replace a basic land with these lands. It's that they're also colorless, so they get around protection for the most part,
right?
Unless it's just straight up hexproof. So it's just like it doesn't care about Thalia. It doesn't care about Counterspell. It doesn't care about most of the things that you would use to get around spells that do this sort of thing. So they're going to be auto includes in pretty much any deck that can run them. I mean, even the bad ones in any format.
Really, you think? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any format. These are multi-format all stars. You're going to see these in Commander. You're going to see these in Modern. You're going to see these probably in Legacy. I don't know, but maybe Vintage. I don't know. Maybe not Vintage, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see at least Baseju in Legacy. Modern, Pioneer. These lands are pushed. These are probably some of the strongest lands they've printed in a while.
Yet.
In a while. Like, probably, like, somebody had mentioned since the fetch lands.
Ooh.
I don't know if I want to go quite that far yet, but they're really, really good. I mean, like, if I know, like, you like to toss around the word ban a lot. I would not be completely surprised if these were in a conversation for a banning sometime in the next year or two. I would not be completely surprised. I mean, it would be a little bit of a surprise, but not, it's one of the things going, okay, yeah, I can see that.
I'm in danger.
But right now, obviously, you know, the set's just come out, so it's too early to tell. But
right.
I think for sure Kamigawa Neon Dynasty is making a whole lot of noise.
Okay. I'm down with that. I'm excited to see what Kamigawa can pull, what we can find there. Mm-hmm. That was cool. I mean, you know, it's obviously, like, I'm looking on, first of all, the top two decks are now Control. Control has toppled aggro. So what they did with the bannings worked. We can mm-hmm. go that far. The bannings have worked. What's great is Jeskai Control is using Hinata Dawncrowned. So flying, trample, spells you cost one less. Spells your opponent's gas cost one more. That's a commander.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that deck list actually kinda one or two pieces in that, and it should overtake Orzhov, in my opinion. Because it's still hard to beat Goldspan Dragon. I'm sorry, yeah, Goldspan Dragon's ridiculous.
Goldspan Dragon is still really, really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you're going to see a lot more, I think, Kamigawa bubbling up.
Oh, yeah, there'll be some, you know. Well, Jinka could be in that as a one or two of, you know, just as kind of like a finisher. But
right.
It's, you know, and then after that, it's white aggro, green aggro, whatevs. Is it Dragons is still hanging out in the top five? Ramp is coming up. Renin 7, basically. Prosperous Innkeeper. It looks like Selesnya Ramp. Very interesting. Not Naya.
Yeah, I'm looking to see. There's no... it's hard to tell right now because, like I said, it feels like this is the flux before rotation fully takes effect. There's nothing in here from Kamigawa, and I'm pretty sure that that's going to change.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Baseju is going to be in here somewhere.
Well, it'll have to be, yeah. Obviously, these cards here are not, you know, indicative of what's going to happen after next week.
So, Wandering Emperor is really good. I mean, I have one of the decks I ran into at the pre-release had two of them.
Shit.
So, you know, and I was ready for the first one. The second one caught me completely off guard.
Right.
I think being able to play a Planeswalker at instant speed and use its abilities right away is pretty gross.
Nice. Yeah, so we, you know, with that going on, Standard is definitely going to be in flux for the next couple of weeks, and we knew that. It's a new set. You and I should get our boxes Friday, right? Are you going down?
I'm going to try to see if I can get down this Friday to get the box, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Now that I have... Here's the thing. I haven't talked about it on air, but since the car started having problems and I couldn't get it inspected in November, I've literally been like, I'm driving to work. I drive to work. I drive home. If I have to go to the store, I go to the store, but I go at night. Like, I've been driving an uninspected car, which... here's the thing. At the place I worked... First of all, I carried my jail ID because I'm like, you know what? It's kind of like, maybe you'll give me a break because I work in a jail. But it was also like a lot of people in the parking lot where I worked had that problem. And I talked to one of the officers and they're like, it depends on the guy if he's having a rough week or whatever. He's like, for the most part, though, they're kind of ever since COVID, they're kind of letting that slide.
Yeah, they've been letting a lot of stuff go, and yeah. You know that's cool,
which is great. But I mean, now that I have a car again and it's reliable, and I do love it. I mean, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, but it has Bluetooth, and that's what I needed.
Point A to point B, and you don't got to worry about having to go to C because it broke down.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's all that matters.
Unless I fall off a bridge, then I go to C. You know, so.
That's more like a D, because you're dead.
No, well, C, because you go to C, out to C.
Oh, depends on the bridge. What if it's over a road? Bridge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, knock, knock.
I'm not going there.
Why not? Knock, knock. Come on, man.
Nobody lives here. No one's home. Go away. We don't want what you're selling.
Yeah.
Damn Jehovah's Witness.
Damn, that got dark fast. So... Standard's going to definitely have some changes. We're very much looking forward to it. No soliciting.
Exactly. Thank you.
So Standard is definitely going to change. Let's kind of take a look. Let's pivot from that. Let's go into kind of like our news segment. Because this is very interesting stuff. So Hasbro's quarterly report came out last week.
Yes.
And it basically... so are there decks you both wouldn't recommend? Oh, Steve is asking that. Mono Red is still not there yet, which is interesting to say if you've ever been playing for a little while. The fact that Mono Red is still not here yet. Now, that could change with Kamigawa. I just didn't see enough, I don't think, to kind of justify.
They got a couple cards. They got a couple of toys. I'm not sure if it's going to be enough to put them over the edge.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to see Mono Red for a bit. Maybe Capenna will do something with that, but because that's next, right? New Capenna.
New Capenna is the next set. Yeah, a 1920s Chicago LA right. Gangster plane run by demons, used to be run by angels. I mean, interesting right. Little twist there.
Well, and Parkman, this here's the thing: we're running into the same thing that we've been saying all along, the issues we had with Innistrad to a lesser extent, but definitely like Strixhaven.
Kaldheim, Strixhaven.
Yeah. Is that because they're not doing blocks anymore, tribal is harder to pull off. And especially something uniquely tribal like ninjas, because ninjas are, they are 100%. Mm-hmm. Associated with this realm. And
well, hell, look at the party mechanic. They could have really made that. They could have snuck that into D&D.
They should have snuck that into D&D. That was a missed opportunity. In fact, we used to say, we're like, well, it's obvious why they're doing this, because they're going to sneak it into D&D, and it'll be like having block. The problem is not having a block. Ninjas is not going to be anything, because ninjas are only going to have what was in this set, and that's it.
Yeah, so you have to hope that the ninjas are in there are really good. I mean, and there are some very good ninjas in
there. There are some
set.
Very good ninjas, but they'll go in other decks that'll support other decks.
Right. Neon
Dynasty is not going... Neon Dynasty is going to change, but it's unfortunate that, we're not going to get something like we should get ninjas for this. They should have blocked this. They should go back to blocks, at least two. And I think Innistrad was their test for that. Only somebody forgot to tell them to, you know, build it in a block. Because Innistrad should have been that. It should have been a kind of return to blocks. Mm-hmm. But they don't work well together, as obviously found by Double Feature. There isn't anybody I've talked to that said Double Feature was an amazing, limited gameplay.
Yep,
everybody said the same thing. It's a hot mess. You open the same cards twice in some packs, in most packs. Like
I think the general consensus on Double Feature was that it's a cool idea. They should have added more cards from other Innistrad sets. It should not have cost $10 a pack, and they should have made more of it.
Yeah.
So it was. It's so many missed opportunities on something that's just a freaking beach ball easy slam dunk.
Right.
But hey, you know what? Going back to what we were talking about, they're making so much goddamn money, they don't care.
Right, because that's what happened, is that their big event, or their big quarterly earnings report came out last week. And basically, long story short,
I can tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So
you take this.
Yeah, long story short, last year was the best year for Wizards of the Coast in their history.
Right.
They had about $1.3 billion with a B dollars in revenue, which I guess is up 42% from the previous year. Their profits were up 30% to $547 million in profit.
Yeah,
they actually hit their 5-year plan of doubling revenue 2 years ahead of plan, 2 years ahead of schedule. They actually accounted for 72% of Hasbro's profit.
Yep. So they're not going to – here's the thing, folks. They are not getting rid of Watsi anytime soon. People have wondered, hey, are they – you know, because they separated them into their own unit, is this so that they can sell it easier? Absolutely not. They are going to ride this train until it derails.
And the only problem I have with this, I have no problem with them making just – gobs and gobs of cash.
Absolutely. It keeps us in our
no problem
thing.
With that whatsoever. Absolutely. The problem is that I don't feel like they're reinvesting it into the things that actually matter. I mean, this is going to be like we've had this a lot over the last few weeks. This is kind of me yelling at the clouds.
Right.
$547 million worth of profits, but you can't hire enough developers to keep Arena and Magic Online running smoothly. So you have to farm out Magic Arena. You can't keep Magic Online.
Yeah.
You can't keep Arena running stable. You can't fix the problems with secret lairs and foils, and you can't give people what they want in all these different different formats that they want to go into Arena. You can't make Arena have Pioneer and all
these
things.
I don't have the article in front of me, but there is talk. It's coming back around again. They have heard us about Historic.
It's not Pioneer that they're talking about, though.
What do you think they're going to do? Like a super Historic?
I don't know what they're going to do. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. But basically, that's the problem that I'm having, is that they're not putting it back into like quality control and improvement. I mean, quick aside, the Neon Dynasty Commander decks have a pretty glaring error in one of them. The Gruul deck has an extra Mossfire Valley, and they're like, oh, well, it was supposed to be a basic land. Come to find out, it was supposed to be a Nissa Planeswalker. I don't know how you miss that. I mean, the problem is that you're putting out so many products and you don't have as many people looking at them.
Yeah.
You know? And making sure that these mistakes aren't happening. There was a card in Neon Dynasty that is listed in English as a ninja when it's not a ninja. It's a rogue. There's an artist that was improperly credited for one of the Japanese variants that should have been somebody else. All these little things.
Yeah. The quality control is obviously, there's a problem.
There's definitely a problem there.
Look, here's the thing. All right. Hasbro is a multi-billion-dollar corporation where, you know, that is responsible for everything from Magic to G.I. Joe to Transformers. I think they're still running Star Wars because I think they bought Kenner. Like they run the gambit of games to toys. I mean, so yeah, you know what? Magic having a 500 and some odd million dollar profit means one thing. That we are being used to subsidize, you know, the Monopoly empire for the 85th version of Monopoly they came up with for Monopoly Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Well, you know, that's
like, it's just
coming from a financial perspective, that depends on where that money is actually budgeted to.
Right.
We don't know that because they may not be allowed to spend that money for those things.
Right. And Parkman, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. One set is not going to do this. Where this money came from, how they managed to do this is very simple. Number one, okay, they upped the prices, the set boosters, period.
No, okay? I don't even think it's that.
I think it's set boosters, secret lairs, and
it's mostly secret lairs, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about secret lairs.
Speaking of quality control issues.
Speaking of quality control issues with secret lairs, I put it up in the Discord today. First of all, though, yes. You know what? I got to probably turn off my green screen here. Hold on. Because, I mean, this is kind of cool. Okay. You know, the Crater Hoof Behemoth looks great. You guys can't see it. There we go. You know, that looks incredible. Awesome. Like the little artwork. I'm going to use these in Commander Craft. So Craterhoof came, Muldrifter came. I have both versions of that. The bonus card is Questing Feldegriff, which I've never heard of, but I guess is a pretty
decent
card.
That's from Plane Shift.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an old card. Yeah.
And then Metalwork Colossus. And look at that. It's got the really nice artwork. So I was getting excited to look at the child artwork. It's another Muldrifter. I was like, yeah. No. So I had to send an email today to Wizards and say, y'all fucked up. Send me, I want my kid version of, you know, especially Metalwork Colossus, which is the second most, like, usable card in Commander in this set. Like, nobody's using Muldrifter.
Well, Muldrifter sees play.
It does see play, but not like Metalwork Colossus. And
I think Muldrifter sees more play than Metalwork Colossus. I'd be willing
really?
To bet on that. Yeah. I think Muldrifter, I mean, Muldrifter draws you cards.
Well, I mean, and now I have three of them. Because, I mean, they won't make me send this one back. They'll just send me a new Metalwork Colossus and probably something else with it. But, I mean, and then that gets me on another thing. I got an email last week, and I put it in the Discord. My secret lairs for Walking Dead, Stranger Things. Did you get yours?
I got mine.
Yeah, Stranger Things and the monster movie posters got delayed. So they refunded me. Now, don't get me wrong. They also sent me a cancellation email. I'm going to be like, motherfuckers, no, you sent me an email saying I'm going to get my cards. They're refunding my money. I was like, you know what? I can wait an extra 2 months for free secret, you know, for
a free secret. Yeah.
So I'm not pissed about it, but it definitely shows a little problem there with, you know, I mean, because this is supposed to be made to order. Why aren't my cards ready? Like, you weren't supposed to print.
Yeah.
This is made to print.
It's the problem with, you know, like, people in our Winterbox tournament have been having issues getting their matches to fire because there's just some bug in the system with matchmaking.
It's not even a bug. It's so hard to make it work. That's the thing.
Yeah,
if it's not capitalized right, if you're not using the right version of challenge, there are two challenge versions.
Right.
Like, yeah,
but
it's
the point, buggy shit. Yeah, and the point I'm getting at is that a company that made $1.3 billion in revenue and $500 million in profit should be able to afford the extra programmers that it would take to dig through the code and fix this. I understand that it's not it may not be a simple fix, but
well,
you can
it's very limited. All right, how many people are playing Friendly Historic Brawl Challenge?
But it doesn't happen only with Friendly Historic Brawl.
But it does with the people that. Remember, there's that site out there that'll help you, like, find people to play against.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of screws them. It goes outside the matchmaking.
But still, I mean, in the end, I mean, you make $500 million in profit, which is extra money you can do whatever you want with. And it doesn't look like, maybe they are, but it doesn't look like they're spending it on making Arena work perfectly, especially when Yu-Gi-Oh! Just came out with a competitor that had basically the entire catalog of their cards ready to go from launch.
Yeah.
And we're struggling to get Pioneer.
Come on now. We're not Yu-Gi-Oh! Does not have the card base we do.
12,000 cards.
Yeah, our cards are in the 20s, aren't they?
Yeah, but how many are in Arena?
True.
That's the thing. They launched a brand new game with the entire, well, essentially the entire library of Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and that game is not necessarily a simple game either.
No, it's not. And I like to pick on my cousin Samantha, who occasionally watches this, because you know she plays Magic, but she also really loved Yu-Gi-Oh. And I mean, I spent a whole bunch of time just going, "Yeah, I'm going to play the original. Don't give me that." But then again, I picked on RuneScape until yesterday, so
yeah. I'm just saying, like, Konami fired a shot across Hasbro's bow, and I don't think Hasbro's answered that, and I'm not sure that they will.
Doesn't Yu-Gi-Oh have far less cards? They do.
In the entire game, yes. Magic has more cards in the entire game than Yu-Gi-Oh, but the problem is that Yu-Gi-Oh launched their online game with the entire collection of cards, whereas Arena launched with Ixalan and, like, Ravnica, and then, you know, they've been adding cards here and there outside of set releases, where especially now they're making all this extra money. Spend $100 million of that profit, $20 million, $10 million of that profit, hire a team of developers to say your job is to get the back catalog into Arena. It can be done because some of these old cards have already been programmed. We already know how Black Lotus works, you know. This is something that can be done. I feel like it should be done, especially if Arena is going to be the future of Magic. You can still do your alchemy bullshit, but then if you know you eventually phase out Magic Online for the flashier, newer version that can only run on tablets and high end computers, force people to get rid of their potatoes, and put the catalog on Arena. I feel like when you're making that much money, I'm hoping people got bonuses. I'm hoping people got money for the hard work they put in, because people at Wizards, they bust their ass to make the best game in the world. And I hope that they pay that forward by listening to the very legitimate criticisms and wishes of their consumers about the things that they want to have fixed, because it's not like these people hate the game. They want to spend all their money on this game, but they want to get good stuff back. And going back to when the game first came out and the quality generally that was there, you know, they had their own issues when they were their own independent company, too. Right. But the card stock was better, you know, the print quality was better for the most part. The foils were
better.
Well,
because it was their priority. And Hasbro has to shuffle their priorities. That's what a conglomerate does. We understand it. We get it. So I
just imagine how much money they would make if Arena was supporting every format.
Right. Well,
just think about it. Especially with the economy the way that if they did nothing else different with Arena other than adding the entire catalog of cards.
But
imagine how much
that?
Freaking
because,
yes. Why not?
I don't know, because I'm gonna be honest with you, okay? Now MTGO is built a different way. But I also know that every time a new set comes out, okay, I get an additional gigabyte, if not, you know, at least 500 to 600 megabytes. All right. Because of how this engine is programmed. From an IT perspective, they also might be thinking it pushes them out of mobile, because you can't put a 32 gigabyte game on mobile, because no device other than, you know, the latest and greatest iPhone, and don't get me wrong, the 128, my God, I love my life right now. But you know, there are certain things that we have. I get it. I understand it. You know, but, and yeah, you can't put in a way to upload your paper cards into Arena, because the Arena doesn't know what to do with them. The problem is, too, is the many numbers of mechanics, Dilla. And does Yu-Gi-Oh! Make new mechanics for their cards, or do they just make different versions of things?
There's new mechanics and stuff that come out for it. And don't forget, too, when they were advertising Arena, they were talking all about the robust coding engine that was being used,
and
that it was going to be able to handle anything that Magic could throw at it, and it was, you know, very easy to add new cards, and okay, but it crashes on every update. A lot of the features just don't work. There's no friends list having a friends list is Byzantine and draconic to try to make it to work. I mean, it feels like, okay, if mobile was their priority, that's fine, and that's all well and good, but the shit's got to work, and a lot of the times it doesn't. When it works, it's fantastic, and it was great to play it, but a lot of the times it just does not freaking work. especially around update time. I mean, how many times, like, when a new set comes out where they're like, well, you just can't play right now because something broke the game.
Right.
And that's, you know what, that, I have, working in the industry I work in, I have some understanding for that. Okay, yeah. I understand it. I can conceptualize, because of what I do day in and day out, how hard this could be for them. That being said, there are times, though, sometimes where they make choices, they make things, and, you know, et cetera. And Captain Moral Support, you're a, you know, I love that you have 512 gigabytes. I just got 128. And, you know, seriously, like, not many other people have that. Like, this phone cost me more than my laptop. Like, but, you know, that's because I have to have the iPhone Plus. So, but I definitely think that Wizards, you know, and they made money off Arena. Let's be honest. Okay?
Oh, they're making tons of money off of Arena. That economy is so predatory.
And you don't get anything for it. The problem I have with Arena is there, you have nothing. They could shut the server off tomorrow and I get nothing. You know, and that sucks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, luckily right now there is 0% of that chance of that happening because they are making $50 bajillion a day off of that game.
Yeah. Well, and that's just the hard thing for me to spend money on Arena. That's why I'm kind of going more towards free-to-play. I do play Arena occasionally, but I'm done. I don't get the Mastery Pass anymore. I don't, you know, it's like, you know what? I don't need to pay you money to let me change how my card looks, you know, and to get like 10 extra packs. I can draft, you know, and I'm terrible at drafts, but yeah. But I just really, really, you know, I'm okay with, I'm glad they're profitable. I do wish they'd spend some money in development.
Super happy about that.
But I do think, too, I think they're subsidizing a lot of other areas of that company. And it is what it is. You know what? I salute, more power to you. But let's kind of pivot off of that, because a second article came out this week, and it was the state of the game for Kamigawa Neon Dynasty, and it was put out on the 8th, so about a week ago. You know, it kind of goes over how the mechanics work, whatever. The real nuts and bolts of this article are obviously the state of Alchemy area. And Parkman hit it right on the head. He's like, you know, MTG Goldfish said it today that they went out of their way not to mention Pioneer.
Yeah.
But they kind of talk about it in State of Alchemy. They say, you know, we understand and, you know, people are unhappy that we have tied Alchemy to Historic and that you want a card. How did they
put it? A true-to-tabletop non-rotating format.
Right. And basically they said, well, guess what? We're not doing that in Historic. Historic is not going back. So, and so they're saying we're actively looking into how we'll support an additional Eternal format. And here's the thing. I think they're afraid. I think they know that if they put an actual Historic or an actual Eternal format into Arena, Historic will die. Because Historic is dying. I don't hear about Historic anymore. I don't hear people playing a lot of Alchemy. We're doing it for our winner box because I love the idea of different commanders and stuff and trying to get that commander experience in Arena. But that being said,
I'm hearing differently. I'm hearing that Historic Alchemy is, you know, fairly popular. Alchemy Standard is fairly popular. At least to the point where they have no plans of changing anything. It's just, it's one of those things where you read the article and they're like, we're not sure what this is going to look like. We're not sure what format it's going to be.
It's going to take 6 years.
But meanwhile, the rest of the world that plays Magic Arena is like, you could have just solved this by doing Pioneer in the first place. You could have done Alchemy like after the fact and just focused on Pioneer.
We're 2 years into Pioneer.
Because here's the thing.
Pioneer came out just before the pandemic.
They promised Pioneer.
Right.
Pushed it back, fine, whatever. Then introduced Alchemy. And Pioneer sort of faded away. And it's like, nobody asked for Alchemy. No one asked for that.
And DC Dilla, I think the next Winnabox for Capenna is probably going to be standard. We haven't done standard in some time. Yeah. We might do standard again. Non-alchemy.
Yeah. But it's... I feel like, you know, Pioneer is the answer to this question that they have. And I wish they would see that. And I feel like Arena can easily support...
Well, we're halfway there, right? Like, we're missing...
We're less than halfway there. We still... Because it goes all the way back to Return to Ravnica.
Right. But they've got coded almost all the way to Origins at this point.
They're close to Origins with the coding, yeah. So I mean, it wouldn't take too much for them to finish that and make that available. I mean, are they concerned about the historic anthology cards that they added that wouldn't normally be Pioneer legal? I mean, but you can solve that by making those cards not legal in Pioneer. I'm just saying that looking at Magic Online, a dinosaur of a program that's able to run every format. Bugs aside, it has the ability to run every format, and a large portion of these events fire when the metagame is healthy. I think, you know, Legacy's been having some issues lately, but the formats fire, and you can find a match. I feel like if they want Arena to be popular, as popular as it is, they could do Pioneer. Maybe not Modern. Could. I mean, okay, if they're doing a new Eternal format, this is the perfect opportunity to start at Magic Origins, call the format Origins or whatever,
well, that's
and
just
then go from there.
Some people are talking, some content creators are saying that Modern is now almost to let, you know, where we are now, Modern is as big as quote-unquote Legacy was when they created Modern. You know, that there's as many sets in it or what have you. And so maybe it's time for... You know, to say, because Pioneer was based off of, what, Expeditions or something? Like, there was, like, they tried to do a pseudo-Pioneer at one point, and it failed.
That was Frontier. But that
Frontier,
was,
yeah.
That was, and, I think, I'm not sure that was a Wizards-backed format.
Right. I could see them saying, okay, you know, here's the thing. RIP Pioneer for one simple reason. The pandemic. Okay? Pioneer got an incredible launch, and people were very much into it. They were going to have tournament events. A lot of people thought, including us, that it was going to replace Modern. It was going to make Modern go to Legacy, Legacy go to Vintage. Like, it was going to push everything down. And then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And since Pioneer wasn't in Arena and they were pushing Arena, that Pioneer took a major hit.
It did. It did. No paper events, and only having it available on Magic Online definitely hurt the popularity of Pioneer. Right. I've heard that especially with the new Challenger decks, I've heard that it's had quite the resurgence in the last few months, especially.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure. I keep seeing the Pioneer Challenger decks at places, like, so I keep thinking they're not selling.
They're sitting around. They are. Kamigawa is going to inject some life into the format, but people are playing. Part of the problem too was that some of the cards that they didn't ban right away, like Deceiver, Exarch. Shoot, that stupid Eldrazi, the one that was with Thassa, the Void something. I don't remember. Anyway, there were some problem cards that they didn't ban as quickly as they probably should have. They kind of ignored Pioneer for a little bit.
Right.
I feel like. They still want the format to succeed. I think they believe that this format has a future, and again, it's like the same thing with Midnight Hunt. This felt like an easy win for them that they just passed on for some reason. I mean, somebody somewhere told them, we don't need to do this right now. Let's push it off. Let's do something else, and that something else turned into Alchemy. And I feel like as popular or unpopular as Alchemy was when it came out, Pioneer would have been that much more popular, and like on the opposite side of the coin. And I feel like, you know, it was a missed opportunity for them. And I hope that their discussion that they're kind of hinting at here, that they're having about the future of a non-rotating format that's true to tabletop, quote unquote. I hope that eventually becomes something that resembles Pioneer or Modern. I mean, something that doesn't involve Alchemy for me personally, because I want to play cards the way that they're printed.
I think they're going to be like, okay, we have up to Ixalan, up to Shadows of Innistrad programmed into Arena.
Finish
or,
of Origin and stop there.
Eldritch Moon, that was what it was.
Yeah.
So they'll be like, there's a new format. It's called current. And it's made up of, it's an eternal format, but it rotates. Because let's face it, modern rotates now. Like, the
you're
fact
talking about
is,
like the old what was it? The old extended.
Yeah, extended, cuz modern is rotating now. There's no way around it. With the Modern Horizon sets, modern rotates. So, sorry, you know, and that sucks, by the way. I still find that annoying, and I'm sorry, I don't think they're doing Pioneer. They went out of their way not to mention it because they could have got a whole bunch of goodwill of saying we're going to put Pioneer. But the fact is, a lot of what this is saying to me is they don't know how to do it. They don't know what they're going to do. They don't know how to do it.
Which feels so dumb because Pioneer is right there.
I know, but they just don't know how to do it. No, so it don't. Sucks, and I'm sad about it, but it is what it is. So
I'm glad they're mentioning it. I'll say that. Too. I'm glad they're mentioning it, and I'm hoping that whatever they decide doesn't involve alchemy. That's my hope.
Absolutely.
That's my hope.
All right. So let's pay some bills, and we'll come back for main two.
When toxic culture has you down.
When you're just looking to laugh and have fun.
Kick back and enjoy watching a video game.
Or just
no skipping.
Friends, it's time to visit the Geek to Geek Media Network, a community of podcasters, streamers, and bloggers.
Well, more of a family than a community.
All dedicated to geeking out about the things we love. Things like
video games,
Star Wars, comics, movies,
K-pop,
Disney Plus,
Keanu Reeves,
new,
or whatever our community decides is the next best thing.
That's right. We have a great online community on Slack and Discord where we chat about our weekly geekery with listeners and viewers.
And each other.
Yep, and each other in real time. And we can't wait for you to join us.
So come check us out at geek2geekmedia.com.
And escape toxic fandom for something much more...
Keanu?
Yes, Keanu.
See, my wife showed up too. All right, let's go to main phase two. We'll skip comment.
Main phase.
I'll tell you what went wrong. Uh-oh. No, please don't tell me what went wrong. Let's not talk about me getting killed by a cow. I already mentioned it in main one.
Womp, womp. But it was a very moving experience.
It was a very moving experience. Wow.
I'm sorry. That was utterly terrible.
That was... Oh, come on, dude. That's, I'm going to mute you. I'm going to mute you.
Go for it.
So let's kind of pivot, because I didn't realize this. Guess what? We're sitting, according to this, like, obviously we had like 10 or 15 minutes of pre-show, but I think we're at 45 minutes. Let's talk a little bit. So one of the things we like to talk about, guys, is we will help you with decks. And... this week, somebody... I'm going to start Discord, so let's hope that Streamlabs doesn't kick me out. This week, our buddy Levi, who is also one of our patrons, so he automatically gets our love and support, he sent a deck list for Modern. So we're going to take a look at this. Holy technical difficulties, Batman. Hey, that's enough out of you, Parkman.
Okay.
Where is it? It's under Deck Help, so... So, is it prowess? He's basically did a little update. I feel like Lava Spike would be better than Rift Bolt due to not having to suspend. Still too many sorceries, but like I don't know what to cut. Serum Visions is so good, and Lava Spike is kind of needed for the burn. So, he wanted to thin this down to 60. So, let's take a look at that, and then I'm going to close Discord again because I'm already watching my frame rates just tank. Why does Discord have to be so damn resource intensive? That's just busted. All right, so is it prowess? It's a modern deck.
So he wants to make cuts.
Yes.
Jeez.
Yeah, right?
I wish I knew more about modern.
He's at 70 main board, 15 sideboard. Right away, I mean, things that I wouldn't cut is obviously Bolt, Metamorphose.
You don't cut Mutagenic Growth.
Yeah, you never cut Mutagenic Growth. You don't cut Opt. And I don't think you
don't cut Team or Battle Rage.
No, I don't think you can cut any of those. It's obviously creatures I'm assuming, right?
The creatures are good here too.
Yeah. Finally, a break from Carrot CEDH. Where is Carrot? I haven't seen him in a few weeks. We had to reach out to him.
These are all good.
They are all good, but and he's only got 20 lands in a 60 card deck. Like I almost think he's like a little.
Look at the casting cost of all of his cards. He's got a curve. Everything costs one or two.
I mean, I guess right off the bat, get rid of two expressive iterations. You don't need to copy. Or no,
that doesn't copy anything.
Yeah,
that's card draw.
Galvanic iteration.
Maybe shave us the Storm Chaser Mages and Dragons, but I don't know how popular they are normally. That's the problem. I don't know enough about Modern.
Well, if he's trying to go burn, okay, if he's trying to really hit the burn stuff, then honestly, I would take at least one of each creature. That's five right there. Put three.
Yeah, but no, you want the Monastery Swift Spears. You want the Dragon Rage Challengers. You want the Soulscar Mages.
You need Soulscar.
Sprite Dragon is insane. Storm Chaser Mage like feels like the weakest to me, but it's also extremely powerful.
Prowess, and he wants prowess. It's on,
and it's got a three toughness. So it's easy to save it if you need to.
Song artist Miss Garrett. Look at that. My wife Mrs. Garrett.
I mean, if I was looking at this deck, like I am, and I wanted to play it, I would probably.
Well, Serum Visions.
I'm keeping the Serum Visions.
I know. I want to too. I mean, but where do you make these cuts? I mean, what's the focus? Okay, if you're calling it a prowess deck, then
it's prowess triggers is casting a bunch of spells and hitting him with the big creatures early.
Right. So I mean,
Storm Chaser Mage, I guess, would be a cut.
All four. Yeah.
But then that's only 16 creatures.
But that's okay because he wants to play burn. He's got Lightning Bolt. I mean, Manamorphose is going to give him mana. I mean, maybe getting rid of Manamorphose.
Manamorphose, like, it's a free spell.
It's a
free spell that draws a card.
Oh, that's true. But, I mean, he's got enough card draw here. I mean, he's getting, you know.
There's never too much card draw. You don't want to run out of gas.
Well, I mean, but you got to make cuts.
The list, DC, Dilla, if you haven't joined our Discord yet, join our Discord. Discord.planeswalkerspodcast.com. And then once you do, you go to the deck help section.
I'm posting it. It is an Izzet deck.
It's an Izzet deck.
He's currently running
four Dragon's Rage Channelers, four Monastery Swift Spears, four Soulscar Mages, four Sprite Dragons, four Storm Chaser Mage, four Expressive Iterations, four Lava Spikes, four Serum Visions, four Lightning Bolts, four Manamorphose, four Mutagenic Growth, four opts, two teamer battle rage, and then, you know, 20 lands. And I don't think you cut that. I mean, you could maybe shave a land or two, go down to maybe 18 lands. Because you got Tarns.
All right, so I put it on the screen. Oh, but it's very large.
I mean, he's got maximum value here as far as lands are concerned. They're all really good.
And he's only got 20. I mean, you can't cut.
You can maybe shave a Spire Bluff, go down to 19.
Yeah.
And then you still have to cut 9 cards after that.
Yeah. I think you're right about Storm Chaser. I think going down to 16 creatures, it's a 60 card deck, don't forget. So going taking Storm Chaser Mage out, okay, now we're down to what, 66 or 66.
Hmm.
Do you need four mutagenics?
I would say cut two mage, cut two iterations.
So there's four.
Cut a Manamorphose and maybe one mutagenic or one Serum Visions.
And you're playing burn, which means you're probably going to be taking a shit ton of damage anyway.
You don't care. You don't care about your life.
Remove the mage for entity? No, he's trying to just remove cards, man. Let's not
add
cards.
He's at 70 on his main board. That's the issue. Yeah. He wants to cut it down to 60. So if we're swapping out cards, we still have to cut cards. And that's the problem here. I mean, guys in chat, I mean, here's a project for you guys. I mean, because okay. I don't want to make too many changes because, like I said, I don't have the expertise in modern, and I don't want to give somebody advice if I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay, I do believe he's got a problem too with his man, and I'm gonna just put it out there. All right, he's got 4 Scalding Tarns, but he's only got 3. He's only got 7 fetchable lands.
That's
so. I don't like it. I would probably throw either one of the tap cycling lands that are named.
No, you don't want lands coming in tap with this deck.
Well, he's already got some coming in tap, doesn't he? Well, no. Spire Bluff, unless you control 2 or fewer. Yeah, Spire Bluff is almost always going to come in tapped unless he draws it early.
Well, yeah, but if he doesn't draw it early, he's not going to be playing it.
Yeah.
He only needs a few lands to run.
Yeah. He said remove growth. I think you do. I think you don't want to take any damage. And you don't your creatures are already getting bigger off of because you're doing affinity. I say remove growth and 2 expressive iterations, and like you said, maybe 1 or 2 storm chasers. Because I think the last thing you want to do, and put mutagenic growth, if you're playing a stompy deck, have that in sideboard. You know, like, take a few things out of the sideboard.
Yeah, that makes sense. It feels like he's running 2 different strategies.
Yeah, he is. He's running, you know, it's like, if you're going to make your creatures bigger, do it through the instants and, you know, sorceries. Don't do it through mutagenic growth that's also going to cost you life, and you're playing red-blue, you're going to take damage. Because they're going to try to get rid of your creatures before they swing at you. But that's just me. Even from modern, you know, we don't have to be versed in modern to be like, you know, we're not trying to add something. It's what to cut.
Yeah, but I mean, it's because the problem is that some of the cards, I mean, I don't know so much about this particular deck, but it's always possible that some of the cards you're cutting are for specific matchups that you want to have mainboard.
But then why would, yeah, I don't.
You know, it's hard not knowing what the metagame looks like to say, oh, yeah, cut this card. You don't need it. But what if it's really good against
well,
the most popular
we'll
deck in the format?
Well, maybe we'll reach out to Jake and have him and, you know, this could be some content for them too. But my thinking would be take out at least 2 of the mutagenic growths, put them in the sideboard. Keep two. You know, it's a good thing to have. I definitely cut at least 2 of the mages, if not all 4. I think going with 16 creatures, you're going to draw creatures. You've got enough card draw to draw creatures because you've got Serum Visions. You've got enough things out there to draw, you know.
Yeah.
So you should be able to draw a creature relatively quickly and relatively easily.
I feel like having somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 creatures feels like a critical number, though. I feel like this deck wants to have creatures and
right.
as many as it can.
Captain says it right here. My problem is he's making 2 decks. He's running Burn and Izzet Delve.
Yeah.
And so,
I guess that's the question. What direction does he want to go with this? He says he wants more burn. If that's the case, then yeah, you're going to start cutting creatures and adding.
I don't think you cut Sprite Dragon. I don't think you cut anything with haste. Maybe you do keep the mage and maybe get rid of Soulscar.
No, Soulscar is.
I know.
Good.
I love that because of the -1 counters.
Kills indestructible creatures.
But yeah.
And prowess is such a strong ability.
But
like Soulscar
could be a good thing in the sideboard too, because if you're not facing a deck with a lot of indestructible creatures, then you should be doing damage to them anyway with Lightning Bolt.
Right, but the thing that makes it main deckable is the prowess.
Right,
because it's a one mana creature that can swing in for at least 3 or more on turn 2.
Yeah. So that's my thinking is that you know right now. I mean, there's enough to take out. So
there's stuff to take out. It's just like for me, I'm having a hard time picking what it would be because I feel like you want to have preparations for certain matchups in the main and have other things in the sideboard.
Yeah, I like this. Captain says it best. He's like, if you want to run burn, I feel you need to run straight red or Boros. You know, I listen, Metamorphose. Is a great. Well, I mean, you can run it in red, so because it's hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
I think Metamorphose would be a reason to run. Oh, yeah, because he's not running green anyway.
No, so the mutagenic growth. He's never going to be paying green for that.
No, he's going to be paying the life for it.
Yeah, that's why Phyrexian Mana is so damn broken.
Right, but it's still, again, he doesn't have a way to gain his life back. He could easily.
This deck doesn't care about that though. The aggressive decks like this,
it's trying to kill you by turn four.
Yeah, I mean it's a deck that basically says, look, I don't care if I win the game at one life. As long as you're dead, that's all that matters. Like so, Teamer Battle Rage, I mean the two copies I think they need to stay.
Yeah, I agree.
Double strike in a prowess deck is disgusting.
It is disgusting, and I'm with you on that. All right, so I hope we helped a little bit. Like I said, we will discord.planestalkerspodcast.com is our link. It shows up on the bottom of the screen. So there it is right there. All right, so let's talk about the win-a-box. So we've had some pretty decent matches. Now, first of all, get this. Not playing Alchemy. People have been playing real decks, so it kind of changed things. Something we learned, and we apologize for that. But after 1 week of rolling, we're down to... We've got two matches in the Elite Eight. Or no, two matches in the Final Four. Sophisticated and Kyuka Killer and Apple Freak and Netrock are in our... Or no, they're in our Elite Eight, yeah. So Mage, Vic, and Muertis are going to play tonight, as are Bowfinger and Kinetic. So... they need to play tonight because we're right at the week, and they know that. I'm giving them a little bit of leeway because of the problems we've been having with Arena.
And I think they've been messaging in Discord during our broadcast here. I think they've been having some issues. I think I think they might have been able to get one of them done, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So, but things are looking pretty good here. You know, I'm sad to see Justin out. I was sad to see that. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing. So, and yeah, we'll do this again for New Capenna. And we, like I said, I'm thinking 60 card standard. It's been a while. So, you know, we might do just to, because I think Neon Dynasty is fun enough. I mean, we could, you know, play around with like ban list or whatever. If standard is no fun, then we'll make a change. But
we'll have to take a look at that and see. But the most important question is, do we have anything to broadcast?
Yes, we have a few matches people have sent me.
Nice.
So I'm putting them together. Probably Friday night. So let's pivot to that then. Let's go to programming notes. So we have some programming notes. First of all, we were going to try to do the CEDH this week. However, Aramis and I have been talking. And I signed us up for Extra Life this week, about a month ago, or 2 weeks ago. And the more we talked about it, we're like, you know, the CEDH event seems like one of those things that we could really do something really cool for Extra Life. So we are thinking March 23rd, March 26th, is going to be our CEDH Commander Craft. So it'll be on a Saturday, starting at about 2 o'clock, going for, you know, as long as we feel it's profitable and as long as we feel it's good. So, but it'll be CEDH. It'll be me and Aramis at least, and probably Carrot, probably Kinetic, probably Jake. So if you have a CEDH deck or you want to proxy a CEDH deck, we're going to allow proxies for that event. You know, because it's using Spell Table, and it's all going to charity. We'd love to have you guys on that. So we're looking at that for the 26th. Next Wednesday's Commander Craft is going to be another on-site Commander Craft at Flights 2. They are the sponsor for Commander Craft, and so we're going to be at the Flights 2 store doing our live show there. I got to send Dave some tech info, but I have a feeling I'm going to end up bringing my stuff again. So we're looking forward to that. This week is going to be our regular Commander Craft. Next Wednesday is going to probably be our pre-release or pre-con Commander Craft for Kamigawa. So at least two or three decks will be Kamigawa because I really want to go through those, you know, Neon Dynasty type of stuff. And then the
gotta do
final
a box
week,
battle too.
Yeah, what's that?
We got to do a box battle.
We do have to do a box battle.
We didn't
Once
do
we get
it
our
for
boxes.
Crimson
if
Vow.
We get our boxes Friday, maybe we'll do our, you know, Friday night will be our win a box analysis, and depending on how many games we have, maybe then we'll go right into our box battle.
Okay.
So, because if we wait too long, the prices go like way down. I don't know. Is anybody else frozen? And if you are, you don't know that I'm asking that question. And then finally, we're looking at the last Wednesday in March, so March 30th. So the 26th will be CEDH Commander Craft on Saturday, followed right up by March 30th. I really love this idea of the fifth Wednesday months. That is going to be 100% pre-cons. So if you have a pre-con that is still in amber, has not been touched, we'd love to have you guys play that night. It'll be me and Aramis playing two listeners. They can roll in with any pre-con commander deck. You know, with don't roll in with your damn Atraxa pre-con. Now, be cool. But,
says
you know.
The person with Atraxa.
Yeah, but I've altered Atraxa. But that's, so again, so coming up next week, not this coming Wednesday, a week from Wednesday, we'll be doing Commander Craft locally at Flights 2. And then we're looking at into March. March 26th will be our extra live stream, followed by March 30th being our pre-cons. This Friday will be our win-a-box analysis episode, as well as probably our booster box battle. Anything else we can think of?
I think you covered pretty much everything. We got a lot going on.
We
coming
got
up
a
this
lot
month.
Going on. So we're very thankful for all of you. Those proxy price limit. We haven't figured that out yet. Probably what, Aramis? What would you say?
I mean, I guess if I don't know. I mean, because I'm not even sure if I'm going
to
end up.
You know
proxying.
What? Let me bring that to the producers, Dilla. Let me bring that to producer channel. We have a, and hey, if you want in on that conversation, become a producer level patron.
Yeah,
that gives you a super awesome secret channel in our Patreon, which Aramis and I do use. We go to that producer channel and ask questions of our producers all the time. So you want in on that? You want to help direct the course of the show? Feel free to become a producer level patron. But yeah, on that note, I think then Aramis, I think we've finally done it, right? So should we go to the big one?
Sure.
All right. So as Aramis and I are rolling up our playmats, putting our cards back in their boxes, and taking our pizza boxes over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work in the Spencer Gifts. Although, I'm not so sure your mom doesn't work in your Spencer's Gift, because, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. We have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. This week, I streamed RuneScape. Just look up the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. You're going to see all the shows we do on both Magic as well as a ton of other geeky games. Usually, it's me. I'm usually streaming gaming there. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73, and I'd love to have you there. So, thanks a lot.
Yep, and if you'd rather interact with the show in a more real-time fashion, you can join our Discord. You can find the Discord at discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. It's a really great community. It's been really active, especially, you know, it's always active during the Winterbox tournaments, but I think the last few weeks the community has really gotten a lot more active.
Well, with the
the deck formula.
Deckless thing is amazing.
Yeah, I have some new decks to rate in there.
God damn it.
But yeah, it's a great community. They're always up for a good conversation or a pickup game or whatever. So discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. If you're interested in our Twitter account, I've been trying to tweet more often on there. We also always tweet when we go live. You can follow us there at planestalkerpod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. Now, I don't tweet very often. I'm kind of on there just to follow my favorite rock band, Nickelback. One of these days, they will be the Super Bowl halftime show. So don't forget, too, we do a playcast on Wednesdays where we play Paper Commander Live. It's called Commander Craft. We want you guys to join us. So if you'd like to play, go to our Discord, usually on Tuesdays. If you're not a patron, I will start opening it up to other people. We always save one seat for a non-patron. I want you guys to know, like, you know, the Patreon is very good. It helps support the show. But I also never want to be one of those shows that's like, everything for our patrons, nothing to all of you. No. We always try to save at least one seat for a non-patron. So if you'd like to play, you know, I just open it up on Tuesday mornings. Get to the Discord. We'd love to have you. So that's Commander Craft, and it'll be live Wednesday around 7 Eastern.
You totally monkey's pawed that halftime show thing there, because you watch. You said that it wasn't rock and roll anymore. Watch Nickelback be
Nickelback
the next
is
rock
not
and
rock and
roll.
Nickelback is shit. They're horrible music.
Yeah, well, they might technically fall under that umbrella of rock and roll, so
Oh, dear Lord. Be
careful. Monkey's paw wishes. They sometimes don't always come out the way you want them to. But anyway, if you'd also like to email the show, we have three email addresses you can use to contact us. We will read your email on the air.
Oh, yeah, read every email on the air.
Wait, good, bad, or
indifferent. Did somebody email us this week? I think somebody emailed us.
Unless we miss it before the end of the show, which also happens sometimes, but we will read them as the first opportunity we get.
Oh, hell, if I've got one, believe me, it's coming. So keep talking.
In the meantime, while he digs through his inbox, the address for both of us, if you send the email that goes to both of us, it'll be podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to email one of us individually, you can email Will. His address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email me personally, my email address is aramis@planestalkerspodcast.com.
Right. And I, hold on, I'm just checking here before we get off the air, because again, I feel like somebody emailed us this week.
Maybe they did.
Mark Wyckoff sent me the match.
Uh-huh.
Abel from Riverside FM is very happy we're on Riverside.
Kane was Abel.
Yes, right. Okay, here we go. Frank Sherwood from February 2nd. Or it might be a little late. I've been a fan of the show for a long time. I started MTG Content Creation last year and kind of fell off. I'm interested in working with people. Oh, this was the guy who was looking for us to kind of, because he's more competitive leaning. We might talk to him. So I don't know what the name of his show is. I did ask him. He never got back to me. So yeah. Other than that, okay, so I knew we got an email at least. So yeah, we do see them. We do read them. We're big fans. So definitely email us. So on that note, we want to thank you guys very much for hanging out with us tonight. We will be back on Wednesday with Commander Craft. Then we'll be back on Friday where we go over deck lists, or we go over some of the win a box and probably a booster box showdown if we get our boxes from Kerwin's. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you for being listeners. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. And we're really glad you were here. And we want to remind you to keep some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you need it. Again, special thanks to Grim Gaming and Muertis Favor for subscribing and following us. And have a great week. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.